Well, grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. July 2nd, 1505, so just a few years ago, a happy-go-lucky law student was altered into a humble monk searching for God's grace. 1505. You see, Martin Luther recently just received his master's degree and he started his law studies at the University of Erfurt. And on his way back from visiting with his parents, this young Martin got caught in a thunderstorm, and this thunderstorm lightning struck next to his horse, we are told, and it threw Martin off the horse. And it's in that moment, we are told, that he prayed to Saint Anne that I will become a monk. Lightning strike. And then Martin's parents, when he told them that he was going to be a monk, a priest, instead of one studying a law, his dad, we are told over and over again, was horrified and angry at his very own son. So Martin had one last party on July 16th, and the next day, this Martin Luther entered the Black Monastery to become a monk. And when I preached on Wednesday, I preached about the different lightning strikes that we have experienced the last 500 years. I want to really share with you how Martin Luther, how that lightning strike continued to walk through his life. Not only what it was his calling story, but as he read scripture, as he lived his life, that lightning strike came over and over again. You see, Martin Luther, if you don't know him, he had a horrible struggle with this concept of sin in his life. It tormented him. In his tradition, it said, if you don't repent of your sins, then that guilt stayed upon your life. It stayed there. So you had to repent of each and everything, otherwise it remained. So this young Martin Luther would spend hours in repentance. We are told that he would spend hours in the confessional, sharing these different sins, known and unknown, things he has done and things left undone, making sure that his soul would be as clean as it could be. And it didn't matter how much time Martin Luther spent in repentance. It didn't matter how much time he spent in the confessional. He continued to wrestle and struggle with his sins. I mean, he slowly found out that no matter how much time he spent confessing and repenting, he was never good enough to be loved by God. And that tormented him. So he went into scripture. Martin dove into scripture. And he read, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. And this is where the Reformation finds its birth. That Martin's idea about God's justification by God's grace and not by his works was a lightning bolt that released a great amount of guilt, a great amount of pain, a great amount of suffering upon Martin Luther's own life. That when you read this moment that he writes about, I'll share with you in a bit, he says that he was born anew. He's born anew. That means he came out of the womb and found new life. Well, Martin wrote about that very moment, and I want to share those words with you this morning. It's a bit long, so I apologize. Martin was never a short writer. Martin writes, and I think these words, I want to share them because I think these words still touch us today. He says, though I lived as a monk without a reproach, I felt that I was a sinner before God with an extremely disturbed conscience. I could not believe that God was calmed by my satisfaction. I did not love. Yes, I hated the righteousness God who punished sin. I hated the righteous God who punished sinners. I was angry with God and said, as if indeed it is not enough that miserable sinners, eternally lost through original sin, are crushed by every kind of calamity, without having God add pain to pain by the gospel and also by the gospel threatening us with this righteousness and his wrath. Thus I rage with a fierce and troubled conscience. At last, by the mercy of God, meditating day and night, I gave heed to the context of the words, namely, in the righteousness of God it is revealed as it is written, he who through faith is righteous and shall live. Martin writes, "There I began to understand that the righteousness of God is that by which the righteous lives by the gift of God, namely by faith. And this is the meaning, the righteousness of God is revealed by the gospel, namely the passive righteousness with which merciful God justifies us by faith." Justifies us by faith. And he writes again, "He who through faith is righteous and shall live." And Luther writes, "Here I felt that I was altogether born again and had altered and entered paradise itself through open gates." Those are his words. Those are his words for the first time in his life where he truly experienced grace. And as a pastor, I've had this a couple times when I had somebody come into the church and they heard about this word of grace, that God loves them just as they are, that God has redeemed them just as they are. So I have had people come into our worship space as a pastor who had the same guilt and shame and suffering that Martin felt in his life, that no matter what he did, God wouldn't love him. And for this person to come into worship and to hear that God loves them first, that God loved them as God created them, was a gift. And so this idea that God loves you as God created you spread throughout the countryside. I mean, this message was finding its way through different pulpits, and we know from our other presenters that the printing press was also formed during this time period. So this word of God's grace started getting was printed and shared with people in different communities. So that concept of God is where our Reformation comes from. But unfortunately, the last 500 years, it brought about separation between the Christian churches of this world. I mean, think of all the ways that we are separated with the different Christian churches, even just in Laramie. The different thoughts, the different ways we worship, the ways we pray, the ways we preach, the ways we sing. I mean, all of these things have become ways that have separated us from our one God. I mean, yes, I've heard people in our parishes say Catholics and Baptists bad, Lutherans good. And just like at the Wednesday Catholic service, our Catholic brothers and sisters stood up and said, "We're sorry for blaming all of our problems on Martin Luther." And so on Wednesday, we wore the color purple, for those of you who kind of notice colors on the altar and those leading. Color purple is for repentance. So both of us, actually it was Father Rob, I think, that said we should wear purple so that we can repent as church leaders for what we have done. You see, the kind of reform that took place the last 500 years is not the kind of reform that Luther wanted. I mean, Luther would be saddened to see 500 years how we have separated. And as a pastor, I too grieve at times that the Reformation only brought about separation. And I wonder at times, what would our world look like if we had Christian unity? I wonder how the world would treat each other differently if we were as one. There's a poster over here. It's that burgundy one with all these white lines on it. You'll see on the left side is kind of the Roman Catholic, and the right side is all the Protestant churches that began after the Reformation. The longer I grow into this Reformation, I grieve because we have been ever too quick to separate. As churches, if we disagree, we stand up, we leave, and we start another church. And that has been the Reformation. The Reformation kind of gave us permission to say, "Hey, Martin did it. We can do it too." So I stand before you today claiming that I am Jewish, Catholic, and Lutheran. And for some of you this morning, the statement will offend you. And if it offends you, I wonder if you as well have been a part of the process of separating other people of faith. You see, but I'm hoping that statement will bring some unity, unity that comes out of this pulpit. You see, I am Jewish because we read the Pentateuch. If you don't know what the Pentateuch is, it's the first five books of the Bible that our Jewish brothers and sisters read in their worship spaces It's also in our Bible. So that's why I say we're Jewish, because Jesus was also a Jewish teacher. I say I'm Catholic because Martin Luther was a Catholic monk, and all over his writings, you can't take away his Catholic identity. It's all over there. It's in there. Yes, he changed some things, but the foundation is there. And this morning I say I'm Lutheran, well, because I was baptized Lutheran. I've been a Lutheran my whole life. But I hope you can see in that statement that there can be unity. Because it's God's word, God's life that holds us together. So I invite you 500 years after the Reformation to find a way to have an open heart and an open mind. I invite you to start bridging some of those conversations. Maybe it's around your own dining room tables this Thanksgiving where there has been separation between your family members in religion and faith. Maybe this bridge can come with a coworker who has a different understanding. Maybe it can be with your neighbor. Or maybe it needs to happen within yourself, so that you can see how God loves you. That's indeed the struggle Martin had. He didn't believe that God could love him. And he found out God did. You see, it is Christ alone who justifies, right? This one here. This is the last pillar of faith. Christ alone. These again are pillars that Martin Luther shared. It is Christ alone who makes us righteous. It is Christ alone who purifies. It is Christ alone who unites all of humanity through his arms and hands on our cross, through his death, through his birth and resurrection. So may God work on your heart this week. May God work on your life so that you too can feel like you were born anew, like Martin Luther did 500 years ago. I mean, after all, last Wednesday at the St. Paul's Catholic Newman Center, Lutherans and Catholics worshiped together. I preached there. We worshiped together, we prayed together, we sang songs together. Reformation is happening. Amen.